the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto Him, our God and Father, beseeching Him, to, in the name of Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest
iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
All the earth shall worship thee and sing unto thee, O God. They shall sing unto thy name, O thou most high. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands, and sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Amen.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who dost govern all things in heaven and earth, mercifully hear the supplications of thy people, and grant us thy peace all the days of our life. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This morning's confessional reading, continuing from Luther's Large Catechism, the Fourth Commandment, Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. We all feel our misfortunes, of course, and we grumble about disloyalties, power plays, injustices, but we refuse to see that we ourselves are rascals who thoroughly deserve such punishment, and yet are not in the least improved by it. We turn our backs on God's grace and blessing. Therefore, it is only right that we have nothing but misfortune without any mercy whatever. Still, there must be some good people left on earth, since God nevertheless still allows us so many blessings. But on the basis of what we ourselves deserve, we ought to be allowed not one penny in the house, not one spear of straw in the field. All of this I have had to teach with these many words in order that someone might possibly take them to heart for a change, and we might get rid of the blindness and the misery in which we are sunk so deeply, and instead rightly preserve the word and the will of God and sincerely accept it. That word could teach us how to obtain all the joy, prosperity, and salvation we need for time and eternity. Thus far, we have dealt with three classes of fathers included in this commandment: fathers by blood, fathers of households, fathers of a nation. Besides these, there are also spiritual fathers, but I do not mean like those in the papacy. They did indeed let themselves be called fathers, but they performed no fatherly role. Only those are properly called spiritual father who govern and lead us by the means of God's word, as St. Paul boasts of himself as being as a father in 1 Corinthians 4:15, where he says, In Christ Jesus I became your father by preaching the gospel to you. Since these are spiritual fathers, they are entitled to corresponding honor, and even more than all other kinds of fathers. But, in fact, they are shown the least of honor of all. The world's way of honoring them is to drive them out of the country and to begrudge them even one piece of bread. In short, they must be, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:13, the filth of the world, the scum of the earth, and we are that to this day. Yet there is need to impress upon people that those who want to be known as Christians owe to God to regard those that watch over their souls worthy of double honor, to treat them well, and to provide for their welfare or for their well-being. God will in turn adequately provide for those who do this and will not let them suffer want. But here everyone resists and pulls back. All are afraid that their bellies will go hungry, so that they cannot bring themselves to support as much as a single faithful preacher, though formerly they kept 10 sheep paunches filled. For this we deserve that God should take his word and his blessing away from us, and once again let lying preachers arise who send us to the devil, besides squeezing us for our sweat and our blood. So far the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, to do these good things at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, and it is to this day. And it shall be, if thou do all, if thou at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. So far the Old Testament. This morning's epistle, Romans chapter 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth him, let it do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit in serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patience in tribulations, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to the hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, and mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. So far the epistle lesson. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 2.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And then he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. And the ruler of the feast, when he had tasted the water that was made wine, not knowing where it came from, but the servants which drew the wine knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth the good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of the miracles Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So far the Holy Gospel. This morning we confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with hymn 243. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This was the beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee to show forth his glory. And the disciples believed on him. Very good. Please be seated. Now, we are a long way from the little village and the little country. 2,000 years ago, the village was Cana. That is where this God-man, Jesus Christ, chose to show his power as the Son of God. A role that would end up eventually on that cross to bridge the great gulf that had existed because of sin between God and man. Now, it is believed that St. John wrote his gospel as an old man while exiled on the island of Patmos off the coast of Turkey. It is also very interesting when John wrote his gospel that his first thought is that of a wedding in Cana. When you follow through with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they seem more concerned about what Jesus taught. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, along with Christ's miracles and parables. But John seemed to have had a personal interest in this wedding. And from the details, it's quite apparent that he was actually there. There is also the possibility that this wedding in question was his very own. This was the view of many in the ancient church. Some of the ancient writings, the non-inspired writings, such as the Coptic Gospels, they state that John was the groom, and then also John was one of Mary's nephews. We don't know. It's not inspired, but it is a historical record. This would explain why Mary knew the servants well enough to give them orders. Would also explain why Christ and his disciples had been invited to that wedding. Nowhere in the gospel does John mention his own name. But be that as it may, the village of Cana is not very far from Nazareth. Mary, obviously, knew the layout of the house and apparently was in charge of some of the arrangements. Otherwise, she would not have been concerned over the lack of wine. Though John may not have wanted his name revealed, he does make the point that this miracle involved simple people in a simple home. This first miracle of Christ shows him interested in the simple activities of people. He was not a god like standing on top of Mount Olympus, hurling down thunderbolts on his people. No, he was a god who left the glories of heaven and came and dwelt among people. Here was a god who did not consider it beneath his dignity to enjoy an ordinary wedding, to go fishing with his friends, to hammer together a simple chair in his father's carpentry shop. This was a God who became flesh of our flesh. This was a God who, from his heavenly home, saw people crying for need, and he answered that cry. He became incarnate. Christ's miracle at Cana was actually a sign for the times. It revealed to his disciples that the messianic age had come. The wedding at Cana was, well, a point to point the arrival of the Messiah, to usher in the kingdom of God, to declare that the kingdom of God's grace was now with his own people. If you remember, Jesus had passed through some great temptations after his baptism by John in the Jordan. The devil tried to get Jesus to use his power, his divine sonship, to bypass that difficult road that led to that cross. But Jesus had come to the conviction through much prayer, much inner struggle, that the only way of salvation for the world was the way of that cursed cross. This was indicated when Jesus said to his mother, "O woman, what have you to do with me?" Now, there have been attempts to soften that statement. The expression is abrupt, and it draws a sharp line between Jesus and his mother. But it is a matter of fact. We talked about this in Bible study. Jesus calls her woman. Although that is a title of great honor, it puts a distance between his mother and himself. Jesus indicates that his life is marked by a sequence of events leading to an hour. "My hour has not yet come." Jesus begins to look forward to the completion of that hour. His hour would come only after much suffering, after draining that cup which his Father had prepared for him. It would finally come through the resurrection from the dead. By act, according to St. Paul, Jesus was designated as the Son of God in power. The work that Jesus is destined to do exists between him and God the Father. The mother of Jesus is really outside of that work. But Mary is not offended. She tells the servants in a carefully worded command that they should do anything that Jesus tells them to do. Mary is the first person in the story to show the current response is to trust in the word of Christ. In fact, the mother of Jesus is the first to show the quality of true belief. She trusts unconditionally. Even in the fact what appears to be a rebuke, she still trusts in the word of her son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus changed the water into wine to draw as little attention as possible, a sign pointing to his messiahship involving humiliation and disgrace and death on that shameful cross. The leaders of the people, they would accuse Jesus of doing miracles through the power of Beelzebub. But in fact, the undeniable evidence that Jesus used his miraculous power to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, raise the dead, and of course, forgive sins. We are told that the servants who drew the water knew that Jesus had done this miracle. But the text does not indicate what conclusions they drew. But the text wants us to know that the significance of this miracle is this: and his disciples believed on him. It was not until after his death that they were able to understand everything, all the events that it witnessed. You see, all signs point to the Messiahship of Jesus Christ are incomplete when they are separated from that cross. One cannot discuss the miracles of Jesus apart from the greatest miracle of all, and that is the love that led him to lay aside his heavenly glory so that he might die in our behalf, destroying him who has the power of death and ushering in this new era of God's grace to all people who believe in him. You see, our mission is not to perform miracles. If that were our mission, we would have been given the gifts and the tools to do so. Our mission is to be a sign for others that God acted decisively in Jesus Christ to redeem the world. Talk about miracles. Well, that water should be changed into wine, this is indeed a marvel in itself. But that sinners should be turned into saints, now that's a miracle, the greatest miracle of all. And the evidence is here this morning. All honor and praise to God, who gives us the revelation of his glorious power and life, death, and the resurrection of his Son, and empowers us by his Spirit to witness our faith to others. May God grant this to each and every one of us. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated. And let us pray for our communicants. Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast, which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Thank you.
And please rise. We continue our liturgy on page 24. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly right, meet, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. And now do we praise you that you did send us your only begotten Son, and that in him, being found in the fashion as a man, did manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he'd given thanks, he gave to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Oh, Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Drink the blood of Christ. Drink the blood of Christ. May this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Nice to see everybody. How beautiful Minnesota morning, I guess. Any announcements? We have a voters meeting tomorrow night, don't we? I think, correct? Do we have a voters meeting tomorrow night? Okay. Anybody have anything? I hear it's Zion. Okay. Anybody have anything?
Yeah, we'll have Emmanuel's voter meeting next Sunday.
Okay.
Service.
Okay. Okay, I just want to give you a little update on me. I think it's only fair as being your pastor. Everything is looking good. The healing is healing like it should. I'm off of antibiotics. Let's see. I won't be able to skydive for a while. But tomorrow I'm supposed to meet with somebody for some inserts, you know, for your shoes. I hope that's all it is and not the Herman Munster type boot. But anyway, just wanted to bring you an update. Everything's going the way it should. It's going to take a while yet, obviously, so bear with me. Does anybody have anything about anything?
Does this cancel our snowboarding trip this afternoon?
Say what?
Does this cancel our snowboarding trip this afternoon?
Yeah. I think we need a prayer. Everybody's invited now for some food and fellowship. Let's have a prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we want to first of all thank you for allowing us to gather around your word and to receive the sacrament of your Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. We ask now that you bless the food that we are about to receive and those who prepared it, and finally protect everyone as we return to our homes at the end of this day. We approach your throne of grace in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.